Good evening. I'm Pastor Gary Danielson, and I'll be your worship leader for this evening. I want to call your attention to our order of worship this evening. It's a little more somber in tone as we celebrate and remember Christ's crucifixion on the cross. You'll see that there are several readings followed by a meditation and a prayer, and that will include a time of reflection after the meditation and before the prayer. This is a time for us to gather our thoughts and reflect on the words that we have heard read and to query our own minds and our own lives as to how Jesus touches us in his word. So therefore, let us begin. Let us rise. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Hear now the Good Friday lesson found in the fourth chapter of 1 John, beginning with the 13th verse. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he is in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us is true and genuine. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. We pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death on the cross. Though this, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we sing hymn, On a Hill Far Away Stood an Old Rugged Cross. Thank you. the first word. Taken from Luke chapter 23, beginning with the 13th verse. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him." And they cast their lots to divide garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's astounding that while suffering the unbearable agony of being nailed to the cross, enduring the punishment and shame of a criminal, that he didn't commit the first words out of Jesus' mouth were the words of forgiveness. Jesus' first concern is not for himself, but for the welfare of others, all who are created by God in his image. Universal, undeserved forgiveness for his enemies and for all of us, for that matter. While in this world one might reasonably expect a tirade of curses, blaming accusations, and denials of guilt, Jesus proves once again that God's love and mercy, his forgiveness, is more powerful than the most grievous sins against him. Jesus is God's forgiving love, hung on a cross for our sins. Hear these words spoken about and for you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can we recognize our sinfulness and rebelliousness against God? Can we confess our sins? Will you accept his forgiveness? We reflect. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, who, when betrayed, abused, and reviled, did not revile or seek vengeance in return, and who, while on the cross, prayed for all who put you there, implant in our hearts the virtue of forgiveness, gentleness, and patience, that we may not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. For your sake, help us to love our enemies, and as children of our Heavenly Father, seek your peace and forever rejoice in your love. Amen. We now sing the hymn, "Abide with Me." Thank you. The second word, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Taken from the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we read, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due rewards of our deed. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. As Jesus hung dying on a cross in excruciating pain, like a guilty criminal, a robber, with labored breathing, admits his sins and begs Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. He believes that Jesus is Lord of all, King of the Jews. He believes that Jesus has all power in heaven and on earth, and he is certain that Jesus will soon sit at the right hand of God, his Father, in the kingdom of heaven. Again, did you notice? In this second word, Jesus' concern is for the welfare of others. Jesus didn't just say to him, yeah, okay, whatever. But with all compassion, forgiveness, mercy, and love, he comforts the sinner by assuring him of the ultimate upgrade to paradise. Can you hear Jesus saying the same to you? We reflect. We pray. O Lord Jesus, who of your infinite mercy accepted the plea of a penitent sinner on the cross, in mercy, look upon those who may know of your love but delay in giving you their trust and commitment. Infuse us with your Holy Spirit and use us to proclaim your gospel in word and deed. Hasten the day when all people are drawn to you by your cross and faithfully proclaim you Lord and Savior. May we live our lives in faithful service to you all the days of our lives. Amen. We sing now the hymn, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth." We pray. Heavenly Father, your love for us is so great that you sent your only Son as a sacrifice on our behalf, so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Because of Jesus, we are your adopted sons and daughters, called to live according to our future in your kingdom. In Jesus, enable us to sincerely be generous in compassion, quick to forgive, patient and understanding of each person, always seeking to serve you by serving one another. Show us how to live and care for each other as members of your family. Your Son shows us your love in the way of life. Make us sincerely thankful for this gift, according to your purpose. The fourth word, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? The reading is from the 27th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, This man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, Wait. Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus cries out in apparent despair, feeling the complete emotional depth of humanity, betrayed, abandoned, scorned, shamed, and beaten, and enduring an agonizing death. He identifies with the writer of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is part of the human experience to feel alone, as though even God has given up on us and is absent, distant, and uncaring and unloving. And how we cry in our pain, sorrow, and despair. How can he allow this to happen? Is he there? Isn't he supposed to be a loving and merciful God? It can seem like that in the darkest moments of living in a broken, depraved world. Jesus is fully human, with human emotions in body and spirit, and he identifies with sinful people like you and me. In our deep, darkest moments, when all seem lost, he is there with us. His obedient love for us is unbroken. His body and blood are given and shed for our forgiveness and life. He is the paschal sacrifice at Passover. By his death on the cross, our sin debt is paid. And death passes over us to bring us new life in his kingdom. From the very depth of his soul, and on our behalf, Jesus cries out what we all feel at times, my God, why have you forsaken me? We reflect. We pray. O God Almighty, Creator of the universe, you hold in your hand all the power and might of heaven and earth. Instead of giving up and abandoning us because of our rebelliousness against you in our hearts, the evil we do and the evil and the good we fail to do, you sent Jesus as the Christ, the Redeemer of the world. Because of Jesus, you know the depth of sorrows and pains and the injustices we suffer in this world. But by his death on the cross, he overcame the power of evil and the sins of mankind, so that by his righteousness we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth in his name. May the power of Christ's salvation live within every heart. This we pray. Amen. We now sing the hymn, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. The fifth word, I thirst. Taken from John chapter 19. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. Jesus was dehydrated and his body grew weaker by the moment. A burning thirst was one of the chief sufferings of those crucified. Continuing to fulfill his Father's plan of redemption, Jesus is offered sour wine, fulfilling the scriptures found in Psalm 69. And for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. Is his thirst on the cross in some way ironic? Remember when Jesus asked the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well for a drink of water? Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than your father Jacob, than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. While his thirsty body hung on the cross, it is by his sacrifice that he is the eternal spring of living water for our souls, for all who believe that he is the Messiah of the living God, the Christ. We are baptized with water in his name. Are you thirsty for the righteousness of Christ, the Lord of life? We reflect. We pray. Gracious Lord, we cannot live without water but a few days. And though 65% of our bodies are comprised of water, we confess that we are a spiritually dehydrated people. Oh God, your Son chose the path of the cross and endured the searing thirst of the crucifixion before entering his glory, all for our sake. Make us thirsty for your word. Quench our spiritual thirst with the living water of Jesus. The sixth word, it is finished. Again, taken from the 19th chapter of John. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. God's plan of salvation in Jesus was now coming to completion. The atonement was accomplished as the strength of his body ebbed. It is finished. Jesus took upon himself the penalty for our sin. Jesus fulfilled completely and perfectly God's law. God's justice was fulfilled. It is finished. The old covenant was finished. Jesus fulfilled the Mosaic ceremonial law as the perfect sacrificial Passover lamb. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is finished. Jesus had fulfilled God's plan of redemption, fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament. He was the Messiah, the Son of Man, the new Adam, and establishes a new covenant in his blood shed for the redemption of sin. It is finished. Jesus' suffering was ending. Jesus, the incarnation of God's love and mercy, had fulfilled his mission of making the ultimate sacrifice that by grace, through faith, believing in him as our Lord and Savior, we have the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. We reflect. We pray. Almighty God, your Son, our Savior, suffered at the hands of men and endured the shame of the cross. Grant that we may walk in the way of his cross and find it to be the way of life and peace. In Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. We now sing the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." The seventh word, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. First taken from Luke chapter 23. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, when the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, Certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. And from John chapter 19, Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His witness is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may also believe. For these things took place that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, They will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who had come to Jesus by night, and came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths, with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had been yet laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Jesus' final word is a prayer of commitment to his loving Father in heaven. Again, it's a quotation from Scripture, Psalm 31. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Note, it's not a direct quotation, for Jesus adds the word Father. It is personal. Relational, endearing. It is a prayer of confidence and trust. It is a prayer that we might pray too. Father, into your hands I place myself and all that I am. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we are able to pray that same prayer as his adopted sons and daughters. Come, pray. We reflect.